a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Sometimes I have a look at, you know, the month that's just gone and I think, was that a high week for me? Maybe.
An up week or a down week?
Yeah, you know what I mean? And there are some signs. This may have been one because a month ago I had a, it was just, you know, one of those lovely weekends where you think, I've got nothing on, but I really want to be out and about. I want to be out and about in my community.
Oh, okay.
And it was a beautiful morning in OG and I thought, I'm going to go get a coffee. And then I just was wandering around. And I thought, it's still a little bit early. I know what I'll do.
Like a Red Hot Chili Peppers film clip. Just walking the streets.
That's
just
me.
Walking around, waving to people, high-fiving.
Big old flea. That's what they called me. And I decided to go into the OG library.
Yeah.
Because I love a bookstore.
You're definitely the Anthony Kiedis of this show.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, look at your face.
Oh, no, but that's just because I've been tired lately. I haven't really washed it. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Or is it my hair? Well, I haven't brushed my hair. Today,
I'm the flea as well. Like, look at my face and my head.
Yeah, you are the flea.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Lingy's the edge.
Yes, he was. Anyway, so I went to the OG library and I just perused as you would a bookstore. I wasn't there for anything in particular. I just thought I'll go and check out all the sections.
You used the free Wi-Fi.
No, I didn't use the free Wi-Fi, but I did peruse all the different sections, cool. You know, mainly the non-fiction areas, you know, because I thought I really want to learn stuff. I want to get back because when I was a child, I was quite clever.
Right.
Quite bright.
Yeah.
And then...
you stopped.
Well, yeah, you know, and I want to get back to that.
Okay.
So do you think I was having a high
Absolutely
week by these lists of books?
Oh, okay. So far I think you were. let's see what the books are.
Okay, so there's four books and they're all due back this week.
Have you read them?
Don't
answer that. Tell me what the books are.
How to Make Dogs Happy.
Yeah.
Sewing Tips.
Mm.
Classical Music. A History,
mm.
And SAS, What to Do When Life Catches You Out.
Okay.
So it's a bit of a mix there.
First three I would have said yes, up week.
Mm.
Maybe your week started turning as you were at the library because I feel like the SAS one's a little bit sort of dark.
Well, it's just kind of like, hey, if your car ever, you know, ends up underwater, here's how you get out. And I'm like, well, that's information I might use one day.
Yeah.
But then I remembered my brain in stressful situations is always like, you can stay, but I'm leaving.
I'm leaving.
And so,
but
yeah.
Then you can follow your brain out the car and you'd be fine.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So do you think, so I've read the dog one.
Of course.
And Classical Music of History. I got through half of that.
Yeah.
I've looked through the pictures of the sewing book. SAS, I haven't got there yet.
Mm.
Do you think that's possibly a sign?
Yeah, so I think you were in an up week and then you sort of tailed off as you actually got home with the books and had to actually push through them.
All right. No, that's okay. But I have learnt some skills
on
how to get away with some stuff. So
that's right.
Watch out.
I am going to watch out because I think that means we're in a down week. Yeah. And that usually means my face is under threat.
The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Joining us from the newsroom is Tim Lemmercraft. How are you doing, mate?
G'day, gang.
Good to have you.
You and I were chatting about, and it's been a big chat on the show actually about seismic blasting and everything that's happening in the Otway Basin and the Whale Refuge and everything that is happening there. But you've been doing some research and some pretty amazing research on some topics and we were chatting about it off air and I'm like, this is crazy that people in our towns don't know about this and it's not getting spoken about on a large level. So you can kind of give us a rundown of the information that you found through your own research?
Yeah, look, there's a lot. And even speaking from a news reporter role where my entire job is to sort of dig down into this stuff, there's a lot.
Mm.
And, you know, a lot of it is incredibly technical. It's a very big industry. But basically, with the Bass Strait's sort of gas reserves, you know, emptying out, the hunt is on, and certainly the government push has been on to open up new gas fields. And the Otway Basin is one of those areas. It's very big, and same off WA coast. But it kind of surprised me just how progressed a lot of these projects are. And, there's sort of three main areas there. There's a seismic testing plan, which is basically just a boat trawling back and forth with a big sort of sound boat, you know, boom towed off the back of it, letting off seismic blast 256 decibels, which is the loudest known noise to humankind. Yeah. This is louder than rocket launches and things
insane,
like that.
Insane.
And so that's what they're doing out there to sort of try and figure out where the oil reserves are or gas reserves, the geological formations. And so as you start digging down to all this, you realize, oh, this is a really large area. Oh, there's a lot of big players in this space. Mm. And because it all happens out at sea, it's sort of hard for people to wrap their heads around.
Yeah.
You know, if you think about coal mining and, you know, power stations on land, there's lots of images of it, lots of footages, and you can kind of wrap your head around it. But when it happens out at sea, where very few people go, there's, you know, very few people are filming or reporting on it, then it starts to get a bit murky. So what is happening on land that we kind of know about is a lot of these big operators have got to go and consult with the local coastal communities as part of their sort of application process to get these projects up. And, you know, some of the big areas like Apollo Bay and Port Ferry, where a lot of these communities are, that are going to be closest to these projects, the companies are going there and consulting with affected communities.
Mm.
And some of the stories that are coming out are quite interesting. I mean, the one that sort of stopped me in my tracks was one of the big operators going and turning up at an Apollo Bay fish and chip shop and saying, "You guys represent the seafood industry, right? Can we have a chat with you?"
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, it's certainly one way to approach it. I mean, there is actually an Apollo Bay Fishers Co-op that's quite prominent.
We've spoken to them about the seismic blasting.
Yeah, and it's pretty well known that they represent the fishing industry there, and they have a chair, and it's not just any chair. He's a former, you know, he's a guy from the corporate world who up sticks, went down and, you know, bought a boat and now probably does quite well off getting lobster, Marcus Nolle. But he's no slouch, and so he knows how to deal with these sort of industries. But that was something that was held up as this, you know, just how strange and problematic and sometimes it's absurd the consultation process can be from these large multinational companies. And we're talking about billion-dollar companies operating here.
To go into a fish and chip shop
and
say, "Hey, what do you reckon?
Seafood industry, yeah. You can speak for all your seafood industry buddies.
Tell us. I mean, the other thing is being able, and this was with the seismic blasting, telling the community, and there's only that one little, there's one little ad in the classifieds in a paper on a Saturday or something where no one's ever going to see, and they're like, "Oh, tick that box."
Yeah.
It just seems like a real dirty kind of industry.
Yeah, it can be, well, it certainly can be smoke and mirrors, or even if they're technically doing everything by the book, which a lot of them are. I mean, I'm not accusing these people of doing wrong, of breaking the law or doing anything improper in that respect. They are literally ticking the box of the processes along the way. But the community are perhaps saying, "Hey, maybe your processes aren't that watertight or aren't that representative of how we all feel down here." Mm. And we don't actually feel like we get a say. We just feel like we're getting these big companies coming in, going through a box ticking exercise, turning up at our fish and chip shop and saying, "That represents the seafood industry." So there's these sort of increasing number of these stories are bubbling out as these projects ramp up, and people are getting a little bit concerned about just the size and the scale of the expansion of the industry down there. Certainly a lot of this was put in train by the former government, but the current government has come in and full speed ahead and absolutely pushing ahead with a lot of these gas projects.
Enabling it, yeah.
Yeah, so it's pretty interesting the way where things are up to now. So I really encourage people to sort of jump on to, you know, jump onto some of these local news sites from down that way. We've been doing quite a bit of it, but it's revealing, to say the least, about what's happening off our coast. I think, you know, for our listeners out there who care a lot about our coast, you know, and our pristine coast, to see such an expansion of the fossil fuel sector operating off there, it's revealing.
Yeah, and the research you've done is pretty amazing, Tim. You can check it out on krock.com.au right now. There's also information about Patagonia that are bringing out sort of a march to protect our oceans, which is happening in Melbourne in November. I'll chuck up all of that info on our socials as well. Tim, thank you so much for doing all the hard work you do.
Not a problem, guys.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on KROQ 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Let's play a little game.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I know you love a top 10 list.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought, I don't know, you love games, so let's combine the two, right? A popular insurance company has come out with these stats.
Amy, Allianz.
Could be either. Could GMHBA. Be any. Could be any. I'll let you know.
Woolworths.
I'll let you know. Has come out with this list, and it is the top 10 names for something.
Ah.
I want you to decide.
Okay, I see what's happening here.
Are they dogs or human babies?
Human baby names or dog names.
Exactly,
okay.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Again, I thought it was...
You want some cheesy game show music?
Yeah,
why not? All right,
yeah,
fine, let's do it.
Here we go. Okay, do you want me to start with the top? I think we start with the top.
Okay.
Okay. And I'm going to ask, I'm going to give you the name and then I'm going to ask, dog or child?
Right, okay.
Let's start off with the number one, name Luna.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
I'm leaning dog.
You're leaning dog. What about Daisy?
Oh, okay. Now I'm leaning child.
Milo.
Yeah. Interesting. Go on.
Bella.
Yeah.
Where are you leaning? Dog or
still
child?
Still dog. I think I'm still leaning dog.
Dog. Coco.
Yeah. Yeah, for Coco to be so high up there, I think. Like, we consider Coco for gold.
Yeah, Coco's cute. Coco okay. Chanel.
Chanel, exactly.
Okay, so dog or children's name. This is the list we're doing.
Yeah.
We've got Luna, Daisy, Milo, Bella, Coco, rounding up the top five.
Okay, all right.
Let's move into the next five. Teddy.
Yeah.
Teddy is very popular, of course. Theodore. A lot of people do Teddy. Charlie.
Yeah.
Frankie.
See, do you know, and we considered Frankie if we were going to avoid.
Mate, you know all of these children.
I know, that's the thing. I was just going to say, I know people with children who have most of these names.
Yeah. Archie.
Yeah.
And rounding out the top ten is...
I know a dog called Archie.
Ruby.
I've got a dog called Ruby.
I know you do.
I'm gonna go dogs. I think they're dogs. Are they dog names? I think they're dogs.
They are dogs.
Yes!
Bupa Pet Insurance have released this one. And literally, who can tell the difference?
Well, aren't they exactly the same thing anyway? That's what you always say, you know?
Well, I said I really wanted to name my firstborn child or dog Lando. Like Lando Calrissian from Star Wars.
But we all know, really, you're going to name the child Oki after Mark Ocalupo. Because you and Jimmy James are big surfer dudes.
Oh, aren't we just? Yep. I'm going to name my kid Shaka.
Oki Tamuscus.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Now, I want to chat about what songs you should request at a wedding, because a lot of the time now you get wedding invites and it's like, hey, what song do you think will get everyone up on the dance floor? And I find that a loaded question, because I care about music a lot and I want everyone to have a good time, but I also want something I want to dance to. And so I've got four weddings coming up next year. One of them I've already RSVP'd to, and I've chosen this song as...
And that is the request of equivalent of missionary.
I know. So I thought, let's all help each other out. What song would you put on the? What song do you want to hear?
Do we have to go to this? Do we have to go to this next call? Because I don't really care what they think.
Mate, it's DJ Bowden. DJ Bowden, our workday dude. DJ Bowden, what is your go-to wedding song?
Now, is this when you're on the
decks?
The decks or on the dance floor?
No, this is my RSVP. This is my dance floor.
Okay.
Oh. Now, do you do that move where you're hoping that someone's going to sexy back up into you? Is that why you...
Not a chance, Logan.
Not a chance.
He does do this thing, though, where he lifts up his shirt.
Oh, my God. He's been teaching Tom that. Can you stop both doing it? It's embarrassing. Let's go to Olivia from the Geelong CBD. Olivia, what is your go-to wedding song?
What a Man by Salt and Pepper.
Yes.
Now, for a bit of context around this one, Olivia, you were given, when you requested this one, you were given sort of parameters, weren't you?
Yes, we were also requested Nothing pre-1990.
Oh, Nothing pre-1990?
Yeah. And did that was that a good thing or a bad thing for you?
Oh, it just made us have to think, go deeper into the filing cabinet of songs.
Oh, man. But there's so many good ones there.
Final question.
I know.
Final question. Did it actually get people out on the dance floor?
Yes,
good
okay,
on you.
What all a right. man. That's a good That's, one.
Yep, okay. That's all we need to know. Next, Kirby in Bremley. What's your go-to dance floor filler for a wedding?
Mine's a bit of an alternative kind of slow dance. It's Your Mind by Disturbed.
Right.
So
we don't we don't have that one in the system, but we do have
their one big song.
Will get people up on the dance floor.
Oh, yeah.
And it will also give Nana a heart attack. So we won't do that.
All right. How did that, they're still together? How'd that work out?
Yeah, it's not the same. It doesn't have the same vibe.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. That's all right.
We tried.
Go on, Tom. You've got a whole list of ones that
well,
you
no,
want to put
not gonna,
forward.
Oh, we've still got time left in the show, but I did get a message from Louise who said, "Don't you have a song that you dack your pants to?"
Time that I thought another song was the song that we pulled our pants down to, and so we were at an event and I pulled my pants down thinking it was time to pull our pants down and
nobody,
no one else
nobody
did.
Nobody knew what you were doing.
Yeah, whoops.
It's a very you move.
Tom, Lingy and Rocky. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime and listen on air at KROQ 955 weekday mornings from 6.